Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And we're back in the room already. Over 220 acres of open space in Dublin has been replaced with artificial sports pitches since 2000, according to the analysis carried out by the Journal.ie's investigative platform, Noteworthy. It means that large areas of grassland, natural habitats and biodiversity are removed in favour of surfaces that involve plastic-based materials. Niall Sargent is a reporter with Noteworthy and has done the analysis here. Good morning. Morning, Niall.
Morning, Philip. Thanks for having us on.
Not at all. Now, listen, I know you're not all such spoil sports in Noteworthy that you don't see the advantage of having playing pitches that people can play on for 12 months of the year. But let us just accept that as a given and move into what might be some of the hidden or less explored costs of these pitches. 220 acres, first off. Put that in context for us.
Yeah, if I can use, unfortunately, another pitch analogy for it, I think people are well aware on Croke Park and the size of it, particularly at this time of year from the sports on this time. So you're looking at around the equivalent of 70 Croke Park pitches, or I suppose if we want to put it in a little more morbid terms, looking at Dublin, it's about twice the size of Glasnevin Cemetery. So it's not obviously taking up the whole of the capital, but it's a decent size.
Okay, it's a fairly appreciable amount of ground given over to what are... well, they're not uniform, are they, these surfaces? There's a lot of different types of AstroTurf.
Yeah, there's different factors. Like we looked at sports pitches in particular, but then you also have, you know, school playgrounds or general community playgrounds and people's gardens. So say, for example, in people's gardens, you're looking at a more simple plastic blades attached to a sod-like base, essentially. You know, it's fake grass in a nutshell. And we're seeing more homeowners changing their front or back gardens over to this. If maybe you don't have green fingers or if you are prone to flooding, it can be a decent option. Then we have those more rubberized surfaces, you know, those black texturized surfaces in playgrounds. It's a softer material. It's for protecting children. It minimizes the bounce. And then I suppose what we looked at is the more professional sports pitches. So you have that fake grass, like in the garden, say, but the playing surface, it's a higher quality and it's also spread. And this is where some of the problem comes in, a mixture of sand and this crumb rubber or rubber granules. So you know, those little black specks you see if you ever play, they essentially stabilize the fiber and they enhance the playability. They give it bounce, they cushion players' impact if they're jumping or sliding. But it's obviously is probably the biggest issue that's well known about the Astro pitches.
Yeah, if you haven't, as you say, played on these surfaces, you might not be familiar with the amount of filaments and little tiny black balls that you end up with on your socks and on your clothes. And presumably, if they're transferring to your socks and your clothes, they're also going into the water system.
Yeah, that's a concern. There was an EU study that actually just came out, I think, last week, a European study looking at this, and they were finding pathways into the water courses. There was an Environmental Protection Agency study that came out just a few months ago this year, and they were finding, you know, microplastic materials were going off with players off the pitch, going into their homes, going into the washing machines, and then into the wastewater, and then still coming out, you know, potentially to be spread on agricultural land, but also the potential for it to get into water streams because it can be dispersed by, they're so small, they can be dispersed by the wind. If there's rain, they can get washed off. So I suppose the issue is where these Astro pitches are getting put in, because as you said, we need them in Ireland for playability year round. That's the advantage of them, but it's where they're being put in is potentially the issue.
Okay, so damage to water courses accepted here, but biodiversity loss, it's not exactly as if your typical grass playing pitch is a biodiversity haven, is it?
No, they wouldn't be thought of in this sense, but I suppose that this is the element that people don't really examine. It's the microplastics is kind of those crumb rubber. That's a well-known issue, but it's the impact on biodiversity. From say, for example, if you have a if you have a football pitch, you might, players are going to compact the soil, but you're not blocking it off entirely for like burrowing insects, or, you know, for bees to get access, for hibernation, for breathing, your access for worms, access to the worms and insects, for example, for birds to feed on. But that's, and that's one of the most important factors we looked at, was the impact on urban bird communities from that loss of the grassland that they might just for resting, say, on long journeys, but also for feeding. And there was a study last year in Spain that actually looked at the impact on urban bird species around Valencia, and they found it could be a threat to bird conservation there. So they're taking it seriously. The big issue we would see here, especially in North Dublin, is for the vulnerable Brent geese. I think people, they're quite famous now. Those geese that come to Ireland from the Arctic areas, they come here in the winter. And it's really those grasslands in North Dublin, especially playing fields, are very important for them for feeding. And the potential impact there is they rely really heavily on that feeding to, you know, build up their fat reserves for when they go then back to the Arctic. And if they're not getting the right amount of foods, this can impact their breathing. So there's potential over time with the cumulative loss of these grasslands that we might see less and less coming back.
Mm. And as rainfall increases, as it is projected to do, presumably AstroTurf pitches are going to become an ever more popular solution. I wonder, is the solution to address the concerns that you're highlighting here to do what was done in DCU when they replaced a GAA pitch? They kept a large grassland section in place. If designers were to leave large grass perimeters around AstroTurf, does that mitigate the effects that you're talking about?
It can play, certainly play a big factor. I mean, you have to, in that case, in fairness to DCU, they did revise the plans. Now they had to, you know, there was some public pressure and Birdwatch Ireland put in submissions, and it went to the planning, back from the planning authority, that they had to do a sort of assessment for those bird populations. And this was one of the solutions. So it can be a really important one. Like you said, retaining more grass areas, potentially keeping some pitches or grass area, or training pitches in particular, maybe as grass rather than changing them over, as well as the playing, the match day surfaces. Other things that can be done, like through the planning process, for example, or creating bylaws, is about maybe reducing the playing times in the evenings, because they also will generally have floodlights, which can impact bats and other nocturnal species. Setting them back from water sources, so if there's any, you know, streams or rivers close by, maybe they need to be put back, or a buffer zone put in place. Retaining trees and natural features, for example. And then there's design features on the pitches themselves to mitigate the microplastic contamination. So there's like lots of things can be done, like putting boundary walls or grates or brushes for players to clean their boots when they leave, higher quality draining systems. And these are coming in with the more high spec systems in place, but obviously the older pitches and don't necessarily have all those things.
Do you know what's interesting about this is I have a statement in from DCU on this, and it just goes to show you the extent to which biodiversity concerns are actually now being accommodated within the planning system. The statement said the university had plans to install a soccer all-weather pitch at the St. Clair's campus, but as this would have impacted a Brent geese early morning feeding area, these plans did not proceed. The university has no further plans on any of our sports facilities for any additional artificial pitches. So it would, as I suggest, seem that the planning system is now a little bit more aware of biodiversity concerns and willing to consider them in their deliberations.
I think so. And you're also seeing a lot of community pressure because, I mean, these pitches are, they obviously have a strong community element when they're for the general public, I think. But I think communities now are seeing more that those losses of precious biodiversity spaces, say in parks, retaining those are more important than maybe having the Astro pitches in place. Another factor in that may change dynamics is that the EU are planning to ban the use of the chrome rubber materials in the next 8 years. So that's coming down the road. The industry are looking at alternatives like, you know, shredded cork and wood chip. I think cork has already now been certified for FIFA for professional pitches. So the alternative is coming, but it's going to take time. I think because of the 8 year time period, though, it's kind of difficult with that extended transition to see that all new pitches might, you know, decide to use a different material, I think the chrome rubber will stay for the moment until maybe the last minute changes. But I think, like you said, there seems to be a bit of a shift of understanding the biodiversity crisis we're facing and maybe the need for certain rules or stipulations in place when people want to put more astroturf pitches in place.
Niall Sargent, a noteworthy, thank you very much. I should also say we have a statement from South Dublin County Council on that. They say this Part 8 has been appealed by a third party and is under consideration with On Board Planola. The Part 8 process has therefore been paused until a determination is made by the board. It's just gone 11 o'clock. Let's go over to the newsroom and Brian Jennings.